Welcome back. Another episode of the Apartment Guys podcast. This is Tate Seamer, and I'm really stoked that you've joined me today. This is going to be a really special episode for me personally. I've got my personal mentor, Corey Peterson, in the house, the big kahuna himself, and he's joining us to talk and share about his life lessons, three things he learned from his dad. He's going to talk to us about what to ask for when you're looking for money and what not to ask for, what to say, what not to say. We're just going to hear Corey's story, and the success of Corey's business speaks for itself. $95 million in assets. Been in it since 2009, been in an apartment since 2009, and is a thought leader extraordinaire and author, speaker, podcast host, frequent podcast guest. And I just think the world of him. And I'm sure that you'll be able to tell that in this episode. So without further ado, let's jump in with Mr. Corey Peterson right after this. This episode of The Apartment Guys is being brought to you by Greenlight Equity Group. Greenlight Equity Group acquires and operates cash-flowing multifamily assets in progressive metropolitan markets such as Salt Lake City, Idaho, Oklahoma City, San Antonio, and Columbus, Ohio. Greenlight ensures consistent, solid returns for its investors and a healthy environment for residents by operating high-quality, safe, clean, affordable apartment communities. To learn more about Greenlight and to sign up for the investor list, go to www.greenlightequitygroup.com.
Welcome to The Apartment Guys, where we dive deep into all things multifamily investing. Our mission is to educate, inspire, and empower real estate investors to reach their highest potential. Each week, host Tate Seamer interviews high-level guests from all over the industry who are sure to bring valuable, actionable ideas that will propel your career to the next level. Whether you're just starting out or a seasoned investor, you are in the right place. And now your host, the apartment guy, Tate Seamer.
Corey, the big kahuna Peterson, is with us today. And man, if you're watching, you can see me grinning. You might be able to hear me grinning because I'm as happy as can be to have Corey here. Corey's a very, very important person to me, personally, professionally, and has been a mentor to me over the last year or so. I found Corey about a year ago, saw him speaking at a convention, and joined a mentorship program, mastermind program with him. And so there's a high level of personal admiration for Corey. I'm not going to hide it. I'll just be right out front with it. So I'll just read a quick little bit about Corey here. Corey is the owner of Kahuna Investments, and as such, he. Well, my notes aren't pulling up, but I do know this. You're a principal in over $95 million in assets, and you're a thought leader, a best-selling author, speaker at NASDAQ. Your most recent book is called Standing on the Shoulder of Giants, or Copy Your Way to Success, rather. Standing on the Shoulder of Giants is the subtitle. It's a great book. And Corey, man, when I think of you, I just think of what a generous mentor and teacher you are, first and foremost. What a great person, great dad you are. Dude, I know I've said like a lot of probably embarrassingly nice things about you here this morning, but welcome. Thank you so much for being here.
Oh man, thanks for having me on, Tate. Always excited to share everything that I've learned because I've come a long way and it's an incredible journey. This real estate game is amazing, and what it can give you and teach you and allow you to grow is something I never thought possible.
Yeah. So let's start right there. I mean, I know your story pretty well, and some of the listeners might as well too, because you are a podcast host, you're a frequent podcast guest, but I think where you come from is such a where you come from and into how you got to where you are today and all the spots in between is such a compelling, interesting story. And tell us a little bit about your roots and where you come from, Corey.
Yeah. So, you know, Tate, I grew up in West Plains, Missouri in the Ozarks, just like you see on the Ozarks in Netflix, that type of Ozarks, on a country farm, 180 acres. And, you know, I always say it's probably one of the best things my dad and my parents ever did for us is give us that ability to learn farm life. Farm life is not hard or difficult, but it is actually it's very rewarding, but it is, take commitment and commitment to feed the cows, to feed the fish, to bale the hay, to pick the rock. And we learned a lot of good lessons. And honestly, those life lessons is what helped me propel myself into real estate today. I was never the smartest kid in the class. I was never voted most likely to succeed. But my dad had instilled a will or a desire or longing to be successful. And I've carried that around my entire life. And I'll share some of my dad's greatest gifts here in a little bit later on this part of the segment. But really for me, I was, you know, when you come out of high school or whatever, and you don't go to college, you got to have two job options. And then you manage some stuff, or maybe you sell some stuff. I did both, but I was a used car salesman. And until I met my girlfriend, now wife of 18 years, Shelly, and one day she said she couldn't marry a car salesman, and she wasn't kidding. So I had to quit that job and I become a restaurant manager. So there I was now selling stuff to managing stuff. But I was really unfulfilled. And then something came along and it changed my life. And I'm telling you, changed it forever. And my mom was married to this man and his name's Bruce. I call him Bruce Wayne. Okay. Now he wasn't Batman, but Bruce was loaded, like the wealthiest man that I've ever seen at that point in time. And Bruce had a house in Hawaii. And so my mom is driving one day and Shelly and I are in the back seat and she turns around. She goes, honey, would you like to go to Hawaii? Of course, our first question was, well, are you paying? Because we didn't have any money. We were young and broke, but we were in love. And so, but she says, of course I'm paying. So we go there and we didn't know that Bruce had a home right on the beach in Kauai, which is the Garden Island. It's my favorite island.
It's the best.
It's the most exotic, beautiful island ever in the Hawaiian Islands. Yeah. And so we wake up in the morning, go out the backyard and over a berm and we're in the ocean. Like it was that awesome. And it was on a cove. So we walk this cove, and if you're going to go to Hawaii from the mainland, right, the time zone is like 4 or 5 hours difference. So if you were not a morning person, you will be a morning person on that first day. So we get there before the sun comes up. We're watching, and the sun rises, and I'm telling you, it was the most magical moment in my life. I remember Shelly and I standing hand in hand, and we just took in that beautiful sunset in Hawaii. Coming up over the ocean. And then I turned around and I see Bruce's house in the distance on the cove. And I was like, man, what does this guy do? Because it was the first time in my life that I saw someone that had true wealth. And I'm meaning time and money. Bruce had them both. Mm-hmm. And there was no denying it. And I was like, I'm just curious, like, what do you do? And I finally asked him. And guess what he said? He said that he was in real estate and that he owned apartment complexes. Mm. And so now I wish the story got better from there. Bruce was a grumpy old man, okay? And my mom was really pretty. Don't judge my mom. She got me to Hawaii. But I left the island thinking that Bruce was the big kahuna. Like he had it going on. And then like 6 months after that, I read that book, Rich Dad, Poor Dad, by Robert Kiyosaki. And when I read that, all my mind went immediately to Bruce. And like I had a real life person that I knew that done it. And all of a sudden I believed that I could possibly do it because I knew someone that could do it that was close to me. Mm-hmm. And so I went on the journey, and like every journey, you know, you start like trying to feed your mind. And I bought all the books and source, you know, well, I wouldn't really go into webinars. I was just book learned, but anyways, I took a home equity line of credit, bought my first deal, fixed and flipped it, made some money, did it a couple more times. And then I thought I was really good at that point. So I quit my job. And then I decided I was going to actually go into the cash flow business, you know, rental properties. So I bought 3 rental properties. I put a portion of all the money that I made from my first 3 flips into each deal. And then I had $600 cash flow coming, $200 piece, right? But no job. And now I had no way to get any more. I ran out of money. It was my first obstacle. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know how to get past it, Tate. And so I went back and I got a new job, which actually helped me quite a bit because it was in the financial industry. Mm-hmm. I became a financial advisor with Edward Jones.
Yeah.
And Edward Jones taught me all about money. It taught me about where money hangs out, what money does, how much people expect for it, and really how the stocks, bonds, and mutual funds work. And that was through like 2006 to 2009. And then when the market crashed, I realized I had no control on any of the investments that I made with any of my investors, right? Mm-hmm. Their accounts went, you know, to $1 million to $500,000 overnight. And there was nothing that I could do. And then they wanted to move their money. And then I had to charge them a fee to add like injury to insult.
Right.
And so my heart left the building. And once my heart left, so did my sales.
Mm-hmm.
And so I got canned. Mm-hmm. I got canned being a financial advisor with Edward Jones. But it was the best thing that ever happened to me because it forced me to make the next decision, which is really the most important, Tate, is in the beginning I was playing or acting like I was going to be in a real estate. I never really committed. I always had 1 foot in and really not both feet in, right? And when I lost that job with Edward Jones, I needed to come home with a plan. And I remember sitting in my office, all the 4 walls, and I already knew what I wanted to do. It was going to be real estate. Like, there was no doubt in my mind. And in that room, all by myself with no one else watching, I made the most deep down, honest, everything that I am commitment. Mm. And I made it to myself. And I promised myself that I would do whatever it took to be successful in real estate, period. And I mean, period, dude. Like, I didn't care what the admission price was. I was willing to pay it.
Yeah.
And that's when my life changed forever. Just like that.
I wish I could bottle up the last 5 minutes of your energy right there, Corey. That's, you use the word mojo a lot, and that's mojo, man. That passion, that excitement level, and to me, like, you know, we talk about secret sauce in this business here and there, and that level of commitment that you made to yourself at that particular point in time is certainly a secret sauce in this world, and seems like it was a huge part of your success.
Yeah. And here's the real trick, Tate, is that lasted for all of 5 minutes, okay? Followed by sheer terror, because then I had to go home and tell my wife. And what I've learned about this is every day you have to wake up and you got to remind yourself of your why. See, I put my vision and I looked at it and I thought about it every morning. I knew that I wanted to be a successful multifamily. I didn't know it was multifamily. I just want to be a successful real estate investor at that point in time. Mm-hmm. And I believed in it wholeheartedly. And I told myself daily that I was going to be there, even though I wasn't quite there yet.
Mm-hmm.
But my belief was I was already living that life, man. I was already on the beach owning Bruce's house, like being the big kahuna. I believed in it. I still believe it. I'm not there yet, right? I'm still on the journey, but I'm telling you, everything in my life happened as has showed up the moment that I fully committed to that idea. Mm-hmm. Now, I'll go on a little bit. So once you're committed, then everything else tends to, like, you start going to work. And what I really did was I first took a self-assessment and said, what do I have and what do I need? Well, I had a lot of like gumption, and I had some, you know, some smarts. I had ability. I knew how to network. What I didn't have was money, and I didn't really know how I was going to find deals exactly.
Mm-hmm.
So I was looking for a mentor, still reading books, but I was going, I was networking at now local REAs, Real Estate Investors Associations. And I'm not a dummy, right? So like, I knew that if I was going to go to the RIA, if I wanted to know who the players are in the room, who knows who they are? The guy running the event. So I would go to the guy running the event and say, hey, listen, I'm new here. Can you help me out? Would you mind pointing me out the three or four guys that are really doing real estate, like high level?
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, yeah, no problem. John, you know, Smith and whatever. And so perfect. And so guess who was sitting right next to him? Me. And I'm like, got my pen out. I'm like, so, you know, where do you like to buy your deals? How much rehab do you like? You know, and I'm just like taking the order. I'm like, you wouldn't believe this, but I find deals just like that all the time. Mm-hmm. Would you pay me a wholesaling fee if I could find you one? And that's really, I started off as a wholesaler because that's where I needed to start. I didn't have any money or credit or anything really extra. And that was just a starting point for me. But what comes next is the best part, and really not even the best part. This is, it's a three-step process. It's like three acts of a play, right? The first act is discovering and figuring out that you want to get there. The second act is when something really changes significantly. And for me, that one thing was learning how to raise private money. And really it happened by accident because I was playing racquetball with one of my ex Edward Jones investors, and he didn't have any money. Like all his stuff was all fixed and like he didn't have any money that I knew of, but he lived in a retirement community. And so I just thought, man, gosh, he's got to know somebody in that retirement community that wants to get their money working a little harder. Mm-hmm. So I was just sharing why I'm like, you've been watching what I do. Here's my process. Would you mind seeing if you know anybody? He's like, yeah, I'll see what I can do. Well, the next day, guess what? His name's Carl. Carl calls me and he goes, hey, Corey, I can raise money at, my home's totally paid for. You don't know this, Corey. My home's totally paid for. I can borrow money at 2%. You give me 12%, I make a spread. How much money do you need? And I'm like, oh, gosh, like this is the moment of truth, right? And I was like, gosh, how do I answer this? And I'm just going to say it, man. And I was like, Carl, I need $85,000. And there was a slight pause. And then he goes, yeah, okay, yeah. Where do you want me to send it?
Nice.
And just like that, Tate, I raised $85,000. But what it really did for me was it broke every limiting belief that I had had about myself. Like, you know, would people understand that I had bankruptcy? Would people know that I wasn't, you know, financially there yet? Would they care? Would people give me money? Corey, that kid from that small town of America. And what I found is the answer is yes. Yes, mm-hmm. they will. And they'll mm-hmm. give you a lot of it if you ask correctly.
Yeah.
Because money flows. It's called cash flows, right?
Right.
It flows from people that don't know how to manage it to people that can and that can make money grow. And see, that's the great thing that we do in this business when you do it correctly is you learn how to grow capital. And when you can make other people's money, you become very sought after. Mm-hmm. And so that's what I did is I started then realizing that I was really good. It gave me the confidence to go out and start asking and sharing my story. Because the two things I learned, number one, never ask people for money. Number two, only ask them who do they know? Because that's what I did with Carl. When I was first starting out, I never asked Carl for money. I was just asking him to look at my process and, you know, Carl, do you know anybody? And that's what happened. So it worked out really well. And so within a year, I had like about $3 million doing single family fix and flips, right? And life was good. But the problem was life wasn't that great because Corey was an absolute wreck. Mm. Corey was like a lot of us that start in the single family world, you get to that hustle and grind and you're chasing your tail. And that's what I was doing.
Yeah.
And then sometimes you lose money, right? When you don't do the rehab right. Or you spend too much money on the rehab. Like we've all had those experiences. They're not fun.
Right.
But then I, what happened was the market started to change in 2010. I couldn't find REOs and short sales, yet I'd raised lots of money. And I needed to place that capital. The capital was looking for me to place it. And that's how I stumbled on apartments. And truly, there's a little bit sadder story. I don't really want to, I want to go into the good stuff. We'll talk about my dad stuff. It's funner. But really, I was screwing up as a dad. The short story is this. I was screwing up as a dad. My son was like, "Hey, Dad, are you going to go to the game?" I said, "Yes." But inevitably, I get there late at the end. And I realized at that moment that my single family fix and flip business was running me. I was not running it. It was running me at the cost of my kids and family. And I just knew that that wasn't right. And one day in a broken state of mind, when I let my son down, I'm taking him home. I drop him off. He's crying because I didn't make his game. And that's when I'm driving around. It's kind of like, I'm actually yelling at myself. I'm beating myself up. And that's when I drive past this apartment complex. And the only thing I did different is I used to say, I wish I could own an apartment complex. But at that moment, I said, how can I own an apartment complex? Mm-hmm. And that changed everything, Tate. Like, it really did change my world.
What I keep hearing as you share is this, just this power of belief and the power of breaking through limiting beliefs. And it's like, you know, from the very beginning of learning things on the farm and the power of commitment and what that takes, and then meeting people along the way that are doing well and are offering you a helping hand along the way as well. It keeps coming back to your mindset, knowing what you can do, knowing that you're the man, taking that courage at that point of, I'm going to ask for this guy for $85,000 and I'm just going to do it. And I don't know how it's going to work out, but I'm going to do it anyway. That's courage. And that's what it takes to break through a limiting belief. I think like that is courage to go for it. And I think, you know, probably anybody listening to this is entrepreneurial at heart. I would think if you're drawn to something like this, and I think that's really part of the courage is really a huge part of being an entrepreneur.
It is.
If you're trying to solve big problems and finding big problems to solve so that you can build a lot of value, that takes heart, man. That takes a lot of guts. And you really showed that early on in your career, getting your foundation built and getting off the ground.
Yeah, and it's really just hitting, like you said, hitting different ceilings, and then figuring out how to get around it, get through it, break through. And so on that last one, when I drove by an apartment complex where I used to say I wish I could, and then I said, how can I?
Yeah.
Once I said, how can I own an apartment complex? My brain went to work, and I was like, dude, and I immediately went back to Bruce because Bruce had time and money. Mm-hmm. See, I was starting to make some money, but I didn't have the time piece figured out. And I knew that apartments was the answer. Unequivocally, I knew that was the answer. And so I went full hook, line, and sinker. And, you know, I ended up buying my first apartment deal in 2011. I bought it for $3.2 million. I raised $1.4 million of private money for that deal. I bought it. I operated it. I held it for 5 years, and I sold it for $8.8 million. Right?
Wow. Yeah.
Made $4.7 million net profit on my first apartment deal. And that one set me free, man.
Life changing.
Yeah. And now we own like $95 million worth of other assets. So it got me into the game, and I've been playing the game ever since. Right. So now I don't need money, but I like to play the game because I like to keep score. And I do it for other reasons because I call it supplier of fun. And that's really where I want to go to next. If I want to share like the three things that my dad taught me that I think truly would help anybody that's listening.
Absolutely.
So I want to set it up. Like, I don't know, you know, I was very fortunate and not everybody has this, but for me, I had it. And so, and sometimes you find it in different places. Sometimes it's not your dad, but it could be a mentor or someone that does this for you. But here's what my dad did for me. Back when I was a young kid, I'm talking like 5 years old, Tate, I looked at my dad, and my dad was a Greek god in my eyes, a Greek god. My dad was a roofer, and he was tan from the waist up, and he always had jeans on, right? He's a roofer. But he, a big, gnarly black beard and wild dark hair, and was a mountain man, and, you know, big shoulders, and you know, 6 foot, I think he's 6 foot one. And just, he was like, my dad will beat your dad up. And I just, I all I wanted to do as a young kid, and I was a tomboy, like, I just wanted to hang out with my dad. And my dad was going, dad, and I begged my dad, can I go to work with you, dad? Can I get on that roof with you? And at 5 years old, I'm going up on the roof with my dad to go roof a house. And, you know, I remember, and this is where my dad did his best teaching, I think. And I remember when the first time as a young boy, he gets up and he gets on his knees and he's looking at me and he goes, all right, son, today is going to be a lot of work. We're going to work today. We're going to put in a good day's work, son. And he goes, but here's how we're going to handle work. We're going to make it a game. And the game that we're going to play today is who can get their shingles to the top of the ridge first. Because there was another roofer on the other side. It was just an A-framed house, right? We were on one side, and this other roofer was on the other. And, dude, that's all I needed. Game on. And so my job as a five-year-old boy was to take a bundle of shingles and break them up, right? And then lay them out for my dad as my dad would get down there and go pop, 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 and line the next one up and pop, pop, pop. And I mean, and dad was good, man. And we were smoking, man. And, you know, long day, but man, guess who got on top of that ridge first? We did. And I'm like, we didn't win just by a little. We maybe won by a country mile, right? And, you know, it was awesome. I was like, that's my dad, right? And I remember just being feeling so great and excited. But what my dad did next is what taught me everything that I truly am, was because we could have sat there and basked in the glory, right? But dad looked at me and goes, son, let's jump on the other side. And we helped that other roofer bring all his shingles to the top, right? He showed me that what it was to be humble, right? Even though you maybe outdo somebody, you still got to be humble in your the way you go about it. And there's more to life than just winning all the time, right? It's the way you win and the way you show your strength. And so number one dad taught me was make work a game, right? Always make work a game. Anytime you're doing something, you got a puzzle to solve, make it a challenge. Set the pieces up to make it, you know, a game and make it fun, make it rewarding. It's so much funner to play it that way. That way you don't look at it as work as it is, hey, I'm trying to figure out how to win, right? Yeah. Because roadblocks will happen along the way. The second thing my dad taught me that I think was one of the biggest other pieces of my life was he said, Corey, so my dad was a baseball player. He got drafted right out of high school to play for the Cleveland Indians, their AA ball team. Wow. My dad was a catcher. And unfortunately, he got taken out of home plate. He's got a big back. He's had multiple back surgeries right now. But but he never lost love for the game. And he was my baseball coach, right? When as a young boy growing up, and now I'm like 8 or 9 years old, right? And I remember him saying, like, as a coach, son, when you go up to bat, swing for the fences. I'm telling you what, son, go out there and give it your all. Don't be ashamed. Let it all out on the line. Swing for the fences every time. Right? He goes, son, but when you do that, more often than not, you're going to strike out. Okay? And here's what you're going to do, and here's how you need to handle it when you strike out. He said, don't make a show, right? Collect your bat, collect your stuff, right? And start hustling back to the dugout. When you strike out, hustle back to the dugout. But as you're hustling back to the dugout, out of the corner of your eye, look at that pitcher and look him right in the eye. And you tell yourself and you tell him, you may have got me today, but I'm coming up next, and I'm going to take care of you, right? So swing for the fences. Don't be afraid to strike out. It's going to happen. It's part of life. Babe Ruth holds two records, but we only talk about one, the home run record, right? And so no one talks about the strikeouts. And so don't worry about striking out. Always play and swing for the fences. Do the best you can and give it all that you got. You'll never feel bad about that, right? Mm-hmm. And then the last thing he taught me, which really is, and this is something that's been handed down now, I've handed it down to my son as well, which is this, like, my dad said, no matter what, son, hustle in everything you do. Hustle. And more importantly, he would be telling this as when I was in playing sports as in high school. He said, son, you know, if coach says run around that tree, run around that fence post, or go do this or go do that, I'm telling you, if you're in a group and you're running, you better be first, son. The only way you're not first is if someone physically beats you, because that's a mental game that you're playing, son. Right. And guess who's watching? Your kids, your coaches, your families, people that are like wanting to pay attention. Like, does this guy got it? Is he bringing it every practice? Right. Does he have the guts to keep going when everybody else is pussyfooting around? Right. Yeah. And I'm telling you, that is the intensity. I'm feeling it right now.
Yeah.
That my dad taught me. And that's how I've approached my life and my business, is that no matter what, you cannot out hustle me. You may beat me in some areas, that's fine. But dude, when it comes down to, can you consistently do it day in and day out when no one's watching, I will run over your ass every time. Right? And see that mentality?
Yeah, it's great.
And it really is. That goes back to that commitment that I made when I was in that room with Edward Jones all by myself. And it's never left me. It's still there. That drive was planted by my dad. And the goal is to find someone to plant it, whether it's a podcast or something that can plant you to make you that. Because if you look at successful people, no matter where you're at, Tate, I believe we all, anybody that's had a very, not just a little bit, I'm going to talk about a large success track record, right? You mm-hmm. will find some commonalities in that person, is that they had a drive and a will to never quit mm-hmm. and to keep going no matter what. Be it Mike Tyson, be it anybody, you name someone professional sports that's got to a level, they all have that same quality. They yeah. were willing to do the extra reps, to go the extra mile, and they didn't care when no one else was watching. That's what they were doing, right?
Yeah. First guy in the gym, first last guy out of the gym, right?
Always. You yeah. cannot succeed on raw talent alone. You have to put in the work at some point in time.
Yeah.
And I think that's what the great people do. And so if I could encourage your, you know, so to sum it up, you know, make work a game, always swing for the fences, and hustle in everything that you do, and you'll never have that feeling of, I wonder if I could. Right? Because you will always be challenging yourself at every level. Every time you get a new peak, right, you find another one that's a little farther out, a little distance, and it's another goal and something to strive for. And really, that's the way the game of life is played that way. And it's so much more rewarding when you put it on that level and play it for consistency. Because I believe this in my whole heart. It's not real estate that's fun. It's the journey.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And if you make it fun and that you're just going to do better, you're going to have more success and which is going to make it even more fun. So it's just kind of a compounding effect, if you will.
And more importantly, when you look back, right, sometimes it's good to reflect, because yeah. the Corey Peterson now is not the same Corey Peterson even 2 years ago or mm-hmm. even three. When I first started teaching and coaching, that was 3 years ago. And I'm a way better teacher and coacher now. Right. But when I first started, here's what I'm going to do. I want to give enough nuggets so people can see my road.
Yeah.
I think it'll help people.
Yeah.
And now I'm seeing other people that I've trained become successful and get their first deals. And that's super rewarding.
Yeah. Yeah. That's got to feel just incredibly fulfilling for you. And, you know, just to speak to, this is something I was going to share towards the beginning, but the whole reason that we're talking today is a direct result of one thing that you said in our mastermind to all of us, which is every single one of you should have a podcast. And I knew, you know, I had done some training with Adam Adams and knew some things about starting a podcast, but I never had anyone look me in the eye and say, you need to do this. And, you know, and I think then you said something like, you guys are paying me a lot of money to coach you, and I'm telling you to do this, you should do it. And I'm like, yeah, that's it. That's done deal. Right. Like,
yeah.
Wax on, wax off. So,
and you did. And this has been, tell me, has not been awesome.
Oh man, like this has been the most, one of the most expansive experiences of my life as far as the just the level of people that I get to have high level conversations with that are hopefully helping a lot of other people out. And just, I mean, there really, it's a cliche, but there really is a true joy in adding value and giving, you know, it adds an element to my career and my process, systems and processes that it's not about me. And it's about you and it's about us and bringing anybody that really wants to step up and come along for the ride, the opportunity to do that.
Yeah.
And man, you've made it so easy for people to step right into your system and your program, your coaching, and to learn directly from you. You have at least once a year, you have a boardroom event. Are you doing that twice this year?
We're getting ready to launch it. And actually, since we're here, I would love to.
Yes, please.
Let's just save the date because it's not yet done, but April 8th through the 10th, we're creating what's called the Apartments to Millions Summit, the ultimate multifamily networking event. And it's going to be super exciting. It's coming. We're going to build something, do it kahuna style. But our goal is to get some just phenomenal speakers. And I got a lot of teaching, coaching segments as well that we're building into this thing. But our goal is to make sure that it's the place where you'd find deals, find money, and find potential partners to structure and move the game, mm-hmm. right? Move your mm-hmm. ability to go into that multifamily space faster. And that's because what I've learned is sometimes you need help, right?
Yeah.
And that's a great way. And just to parallel on one of the things you just said just a minute ago, Tate, the reason I believe, like, I've got this picture. I saw it a long time ago. And I don't have it, but it cemented in my mind. And it was a picture of Jesus. And Jesus was in a boat, right? He was in a boat, and he was reaching down in the water, and he was pulling out and lifting out someone that was drowning, right? And the person that was drowning had one hand up holding Jesus, but he had another hand way down, and he was lifting someone up that was a little bit lower than he was. And the picture went down and down and down and down. So I believe this in life. You should be a student and a teacher. A teacher is lifting, right, someone a little farther below the ladder than they are, right? Yeah. And then the student always got one hand up saying, help me. How can I learn more? Always being adaptable and teachable, coachable to learn what you don't know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's been a really good success formula for Corey.
That's one of my favorite qualities about anybody is being coachable, learnable. And I love that about you, Corey. You have every right to be an expert and you've earned the credibility and the respect, and yet you do stay humble and you're willing to, you know, you took an hour with, or at least in a, probably more like 2 hours with my team at a conference last year, just sat down with us one-on-one and laid it out for us and told us how it was done. And, you know, we'll never forget that. And the ripple effect of things like that, you never know. And I'll just share with you one thing that I don't think you know about, but the whole reason I'm in apartments could be traced back to you personally, because one of your students, Matt and Greg Snade, are also local Utah people here where I am. And I heard them speak at a local RIA event about how apartments were actually easier than single family flipping. And that was mind blowing to my mindset, like just paradigm shifting, that something that seems so daunting and unattainable and you know, you would think that just big institutions own these assets, like, you know, to think that it's not only is it doable, but it in some ways is easier, was like just such a such a mind bender. But that was the seed. I mean, that for me was a seed, and it didn't sprout for a while. Like it was kind of in the back of my head. I kept flipping single family houses and doing development and some other stuff. And And sure enough, as we have gotten into apartments, when we talk about this on other episodes, how there is an efficiency factor and an ease factor and a leverage factor that you just can't get really with not only single family, but any other asset class for that matter.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, Corey, just a couple quick questions that I wrote down that I wanted to ask you. What's success for you?
Man, success for me is simple. Like, my bills are already paid. Like, I care less about money. Money is the mm-hmm. farthest thing from my mind. But mm-hmm. what success is about friends, family, and I call it the supplier of fun. I want to be able to create events and experiences for my friends, and it helps. Money helps do that in a lot of cases for travel and experiences. And so that's what I shoot and aim for now, as supplier of fun.
I love that. I've never heard you use that concept before, and I love it. I love it, man. And I've had a lot of fun with you and Shelley, and so I know that that's the real deal. So, listeners, just in summary, a couple big takeaways for me. Number one, April 8th through 10th, the Apartments to Millions. Is it the Apartments to Millions Summit or conference?
Summit.
Okay. Apartments to Millions Summit, April 8th through 10th, going to happen in Phoenix, Arizona. Mm-hmm. Yep. So go to kahunainvestments.com for more information on that, Corey.
Yeah, actually, Kahuna Wealth Builders is where it will be at. But okay. .com, but yes.
Okay.
We're super excited about it. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah. And I've been to three of your events, just in the last year, and I can tell everybody that they are fantastic. They deliver what Corey just promised in terms of finding deals, finding money, finding partners, and, getting the support and network around you that it's going to take to be successful. You know, the three things that your dad taught you, man, those are so priceless. Make work a game, swing for the fences, and don't be afraid to strike out when you do, and always hustle. And then, then the first one that I wrote down early on in the episode was, never ask for money. Just ask for who you know. That's a great one. That's a gem. So, Corey, one last question I always like to ask this is what question haven't I asked you? In other words, what do you kind of always wish that somebody would ask you about?
Why am I successful?
Yeah, let's hear that. Why are you successful? Let's hear it.
I am successful because I said yes to the most amazing woman in my life that was the epitome of my best cheerleader. When I was a used car salesman, she still believed in me. She would be the woman that would put her card underneath the table so I could pay on my side. She was willing to hold down the six-figure job as I was the risk trying to figure out real estate. Every time I made mistakes or lost money, she would mend my wounds with praise and give me songs of encouragement. And then she'd kick me out the door to go out and fight again. And that woman is my lovely wife, Shelley. And honestly, still sharp and still, but in this case, she's refined me to something, into a whole nother level. And I can only thank her from the bottom of my heart. So having a supportive spouse is priceless in my opinion.
Yeah. You guys are such a power couple, and you function so well together on just about every level that I've ever had a chance to be around. You obviously love being together, just naturally love hanging out together and being together and traveling and being on a Harley.
Yeah.
Doing your Jeep things and your Harley things and
all of
that fun stuff. Yeah. Well, Corey, man, you're somebody that I just any time I get to spend talking with you is precious to me. I learn from you every time that I get a chance to talk to you, and I'm certainly always inspired by you. Like I said early on, you're probably more important to me than you realize. So, and I'm sure that that's the case for a lot of your other students. So yeah, from the bottom of my heart, I've got tons of gratitude to you, in general. And I'm very grateful for today. This has been fantastic.
Thanks, brother, dude. I appreciate you, man.
Yeah. Thank you, Corey. Listeners, thank you so much. We'll be back with you in another week with another episode of The Apartment Guys. Till then, take care. Bye-bye.
Nice. Awesome.